Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
We're hearing some cooler clean out and plant maintenance and things like that might get reflected in the kill and maybe take a little bit of demand away from the live cattle or fat cattle during the week.
Zach Tindall with Producers Livestock.
Overall, fundamentals remain strong. Technicals held a couple places last week or on two different days that we should have held and made the charts continue to look okay, but we flirted with a couple times where the charts aren't going to look too good if we go a whole lot lower than where some of those lows are. So overall, it's just a... You know, a lot of demand for feeder cattle. Demand for the beef still seems okay. Packers are realizing the cattle aren't quite there. Ready cattle aren't around, and they're having to pay up. Like I said, it was a little stagnant last week, but the bids held right in there. 212 to 214, 15 was around most of the week, and cattle did trade there. There just wasn't a whole lot of volume behind it.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I think everything was kind of right on par. I was a little shocked at how the board reacted.
Zach Tindall is vice president of Producers Livestock in Iowa.
If we were truly looking at what the average trade guess was coming into this report, it would have been awfully bearish on corn with the numbers we got today and a little bit friendly with beans, and we kind of got the opposite reaction. So I guess that tells me the trade had looked into... you know, what these private analysts have been saying. We had a lot of those coming out between 95 and 95 and a half million on the corn and kind of settled right in the middle of that, or those two numbers for what the actual number is. So I think the trade had maybe priced in the worst case scenario. Now, we didn't see a whole lot of a rally in the deferreds or the new crop contract, but the nearbys didn't falter at all. We actually finished 13-14 cents off the low there. So overall, pretty good day for the corn, all things considered. Beans, I thought maybe they underperformed a little bit. I wonder if guys weren't hoping or traders weren't hoping that bean number would be significantly less than it was, because we were under the average trade guess, about half a million under what Ag Forum told us there a month or so ago, and we just couldn't find a whole lot of power. I've always said I hate when a commodity's so far in one direction before the report comes out, and beans weren't really all that far in one direction, but they were 6-7 higher and just couldn't hold that through the day, finished 8-9 lower. But I think it is a little bit of a surprise where the acres come from, and it's going to be something to watch going through the summer. We all knew with cotton price we'd probably see a decrease in cotton acres, and we were down 12%, but you match those states where we did see a good decrease in cotton acres, and a lot of them went to corn. Typically, you think of a little bit of a shift to soybeans, and it looks like a lot of it went to corn. You know, Arkansas, 142% of the acres what they had last year. Mississippi up 41%. Alabama up 22%. So a lot of those acres went to corn. What that does for our yield going through the summer, probably something to watch. And the weather is going to be shifted, or the focus on where the weather is going to be shifted to the south a little bit more, and we're trying to figure out what corn production is and what the yield is in that commodity.
Now for the wheat market, at least Chicago wheat, we've seen five consecutive sessions lower.
Well, you were right on coming into today. Five straight sessions lower. Eight of the last nine were lower. I don't think this report had quite as much bearing on the wheat. Obviously, if we saw a big shift in acres out of the wheat and into a different principal crop, we'd see a little more positive reaction. But just everything that's going on with Russia and Ukraine, that's still, I mean, I feel like we've been trading that for 5 years now. But every now and again, it gets a little headline and away we go. But wheat's kind of the speculative worldwide speculative market that people want to be involved in. And right now, with everything that's going on overseas, what's going on domestically here, I mean, we're not out of the woods with weather or anything like that, especially in the south. It just seems like the wheat market, the news changes every day, and if the funds get on a roll and decide they're going to do whatever it is they're going to do that day, and, you know, they're short 93,000 contracts as of last Tuesday, added some more to that last week. So they're pretty well in control of that market, especially the Chicago. I don't want to say fundamentals don't matter, but it's more of a money flow and world politics market than anything.
We've been trading light volumes for over a week. Will the volume come back?
We've got it behind us. We get back to trading fundamentals a little bit or more than we have with the exception of the tariffs, and then as we obviously move into the planting season and into the summer, what the weather's going to be. But it just kind of felt like this report has been on the back or front of everybody's mind and didn't want to take a huge position going into it. Now we know the numbers, and we can just get back to trading what we're used to trading.
It's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Data collection started at the end of February and wrapped up in mid-March. It included just under 73,000 samples. We asked producers about their planting intentions for the 2025 crop year. The survey also included questions about grain stocks and storage capacity on their operations.
Patrick Boyle is the chief of the crops branch for the National Ag Statistics Service at USDA.
This map shows how those 73,670 samples were distributed by state. For off-farm stocks, during a similar time window, we surveyed right around 7,900 elevators and commercial storage facilities and captured stocks and capacity information from them as well. This graphic shows the data collection periods for our March ag survey and our June acreage survey in yellow and orange there on the left and right. Those lines in the middle, that's the typical corn and soybean planting progress. This shows the relationship between those data collection windows and when corn and soybeans are typically planted in the United States. Again, in 2025, we gathered producer intentions ahead of planting in March, and we'll follow up in June to true up our numbers to what actually went into the ground. Now on to the data. First up, I've got a couple of slides looking at the combined acreage of the 22 principal crops listed in that blue box at the bottom of the screen. What this does, it gives us an overall look at how crop acreage will be used in 2025. You can see only a small decrease compared to last season, down less than 0.5% or just under 1.3 million acres. Also, you can see the top five states in terms of planted acreage and a comparison to last season. Next, a quick look at how those principal crop acreage changes evolve over time. You can see that this is the first estimate for 2025, and it is in line with recent totals. Year-over-year changes are the result of a variety of factors, including weather events such as droughts and hurricanes, late and prevented planting in the spring, and disaster declarations like opening up CRP for haying. These are just a few examples of the many variables that attribute to year-over-year fluctuations. Here's a map showing the principal crop totals by state. The way this slide is laid out, the top number is the total acreage. The bottom number is the percent change from last year. States shaded in blue are showing an increase from last year, while states shaded in red are showing a decrease. The deeper the color, the greater the change. The states shaded in gray, and then there are a couple of them up there, are unchanged from last year. This slide shows an annual comparison of intentions versus final totals for the last 10 years. The mixture of what is planted can change and likely will change now through the end of the planting season. But as you can see, the grand total of acres that get planted is typically less than 1% more than the March intentions. We will occasionally get years with late and prevented planting, and those are shown there with those bars that are dipping well into the negative. These next few slides provide a little bit more detail on how individual crops rank in terms of acreage, as well as year-over-year changes. You can see on this first slide here, this is just overall planted acreage, corn and soybeans at the top of the chart, and it goes down from there in terms of acres planted, planting intentions. This next slide shows, as a percentage, which crops are expected to make gains or losses in 2025. Sunflowers are expected to make the biggest gains percentage-wise, while cotton is showing the largest losses percentage-wise. And you may have guessed the next slide, very similar, except this one, instead of a percent change, shows the actual acreage. You can see corn and sunflowers at the top, and soybeans and corn at the bottom.
It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
So we will start here with the American Relief Act of 2025.
University of Illinois ag economist, Dr. Gary Schnittke.
We have an article out on March 25th, 2025 on our FarmDoc Daily website where you can read more about that. Part of that is economic assistance, $10 billion, and that is what's going to be distributed currently. So this, again, will be coming here very shortly. ECAP payments, and again, this was a part of a bill that was passed just before Christmas. It is going to be paid based on 2024 acres, and it's what was planted in 24 and 50% of pre-plant acres. You should have reported those to FSA in July of last year, so what they're going to do is put those on a form. You're going to check to make sure those acres are what you think they are. and sign that form. The payments will be, according to calculations, $42.91 for corn, $29.76 for soybeans, $30.69 for wheat. And you're going to get 85% of those initially. And then if anything's left, you'll get more of it. So you'll be getting 85% of that at least, and maybe 15% more. The application process is now open, and in some FSA counties have gotten those out, and most probably have by now. You will find a pre-filled form out there, and each FSA office is going to do this a little bit differently, but you'll look at that form, sign it. You'll need to verify that and send it on in. There is a payment limit on this of $125,000 per individual. That can go up, but 75% of AGI, adjusted gross income, has to come from farming, and you will need to certify that if that $125,000 limit is something that's impacting your operation. On this one, I would say do it fast. No reason to wait on it, and just get it done. This just to give you a feel for the payments, and these payments are the same across the U.S., so it doesn't matter whether that acre is in Illinois or Texas or Mississippi or Ohio, for that matter. So you see corn there, $42.91. Peanuts, rice, oats, and cotton get bigger numbers, and some of the minor oil seeds are less. So, and there is in that bill also $21 billion of additional disaster aid that was put in there for disasters or natural disasters, with the hurricane in the Carolinas and Florida being a prime place for that those funds to be distributed. And we don't know this, but we would also expect this to be an extension of the Emergency Relief Program, ERP. We added another acronym here just for your edification, but it won't be called that. It will be a different name. We're guessing that. We don't know that. So this is a continuation of the WIP Plus ERP programs, which have gone up to 2021. We are expecting those to go into 23 and 24. And if you have an RP coverage level of 80% or higher, this will top up crop insurance to 95%. And if it's less than 80%, it'll top it up, but it will be less than 95%. Important thing here is if you received insurance payments, and even if you didn't, but if you did in 23, 24, you would most likely be receiving ERP-like payments. And again, we're basing that on that, that they'll probably just fund a program that already is in existence.
It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We did get the highly anticipated USDA reports, those being the March 1 U.S. grain stocks, and then also the prospective plantings report.
Bob Maurer with Manduka Trading in Chicago.
First of all, the grain stocks number pretty much came in spot on with the average guesstimate. 8.151 billion bushels was the guesstimate going into today's number, and that's exactly what the USDA published. So no surprises, bullish or bearish there. In terms of soybeans, a little bit higher than expected by about 9 million bushels. So the average guesstimate coming in was 1.901 billion bushels, and we got from the USDA 1.910. So like I mentioned, 9 million bushels more. And probably this is indicative of what we've seen over the last several weeks or so when South America started coming online, offering pretty heady competition for us, and our export sales numbers starting to soften some. So doesn't necessarily surprise me that the grain stocks number came in a little bit higher than the average guesstimate. There was a pretty wide range of about 1.823 billion up to 2.015 billion bushels. So fairly wide range there, which means there was plenty of room for the average to be off just a bit relative to the USDA came out. Anyway, bigger numbers for soybeans, exactly spot on for corn. And then we turn our attention to wheat, and that actually came a little bit higher also by about 12 million bushels. And the number came out at 1.237 billion bushels versus 1.215, which was the average trade guesstimate. So a bit higher there. So soybeans and wheat, a bit higher numbers than expected for the U.S. grain stocks. And then for corn, as mentioned, Now turning our attention over to the prospective plantings report, and this is just prospective plantings, so these numbers can move depending on what happens potentially in the marketplace in general here in the United States and then worldwide, and obviously with what the trade scenario, which will be starting in a couple of days, how that could all impact our commodity markets. But that's definitely one thing, including the weather. Anyhow, these are the initial numbers that we have from the USDA, and relative to expectations, the amount of acres going to corn was about 1 million more than the average trade guesstimate, so relatively bearish. And then for soybeans, the number was about 200,000, give or take, acres less than the average trade guesstimate. So more acres than average estimate for corn, less acreage to soybeans relative to the average. In terms of wheat, more of a bullish story there with the all wheat category at 45.35 million acres and average trade guesstimate 46.47, so a little over 1 million acres, about 1.1 million acres less than the average trade guesstimate. The bigger decreases were in the spring wheat category and the winter wheat. The durum category was actually a little bit higher. In terms of cotton, average trade estimate for that going into the report was 10.189 million acres. So say just almost 10.2 million acres. And the actual number that came out from the USDA based on their best assessment at the moment is 9.86. So bullish relative to the average trade estimate there. So that's where we're sitting with these numbers.
It's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Now we'll switch gears a little bit and run through some stocks numbers.
Patrick Boyle is the chief of the crops branch with the National Ag Statistics Service at USDA. On Monday, breaking down prospective plantings and quarterly stocks.
First up is all wheat stocks. Total March 1 stocks are up 13.6% or 148 million bushels compared to the same time last year. On-farm stocks are up 12.9%, while off-farm stocks are up 13.8%. Now a look at how the March 1 wheat stocks estimate fits in historically. The way this slide is laid out, those blue vertical bars represent the beginning supply each season, and the horizontal lines represent the four quarterly stocks estimates that we make throughout the year. You can see the March line there in gray, indicating a total stocks of 1.24 billion bushels. December to February disappearance was 332 million bushels, down 0.2% compared to the same window last year. Shouldn't be any real big surprises here with the wheat stocks number well within the range of pre-report predictions. Now on to corn stocks. Total stocks just over 8.15 billion bushels are down 2.4% from 2024. On-farm stocks down 11.4%, while off-farm are up 11.5%. This chart, very similar to the one we just saw for wheat. The gray line, again, is March stocks. December to February disappearance is 3.92 billion bushels, up 2.8% compared to 2024. Again, all corn stocks for March at 8.15 billion bushels appears to be in line with expectations. Moving on to soybeans, total stocks at just over 1.91 billion bushels are up 3.5% compared to last year. On-farm stocks are down 6.1%, while off-farm stocks are up 13.3%. Onto the chart showing the numbers for the past 10 seasons. Again, the gray line there is March. December to February disappearance is 1.19 billion bushels, up 3% compared to the same time last year. Similar story here to corn for the industry expectations. Don't expect any real surprises there on soybean stocks. Rice stocks, on March 1st, total stocks were down 3.6% compared to last year. On-farm stocks are up 12%, while off-farm stocks are down 6.5%. You can see off-farm stocks made up 82% of the total stocks. And here's that comparison to the past 10 seasons. December to February disappearance was just over 39 million hundredweight. That's up 13.2% compared to the previous year. And a quick look at stocks for a few other commodities. Barley stocks are down 7.8% compared to last March. Durum wheat stocks are up 6.4%, while oats are down 19.6%. Sorghum stocks are up significantly compared to last season. And last but not least, all sunflower stocks are down 51.5% from last year and a record low for March. Now, we should note that 2024 sunflower production was the lowest level since 1976.
As a percentage, sunflower acres down 48%, the most of any crop. Second, cotton.
Planted acreage expected to be down 11.8% or 1.3 million acres compared to last season. All five of the top cotton acreage states reported decreased planting intentions. If realized, 9.87 million acres would be the lowest level since 2015. A lot of red on this map representing year-over-year decreases. Louisiana and New Mexico reported record low intentions for cotton. This is the last cotton acreage slide, the industry expectations. 9.9 million acres is on the low side of the pre-report estimates.
It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Disaster aid, or this ad hoc disaster aid, has been important and actually more larger than the commodity title program. We've had CFAPs, MFPs, and probably a couple other acronyms in there for the 2019, a year.
University of Illinois ag economist Gary Schnittke.
They are important, obviously helping quite a bit out with the economic low incomes that we're having for 2024 and likely for 2025. Bad thing probably about these is that they postpone cost declines. The 2024 commodity title. So you made the decision last year. So you made this by March 15th, 2024. That point in time, you could have selected between ARC and PLC. You made those decisions. Again, you will, there's nothing to do, but wait till October 2025 and see if payments are going to be made. We don't know what these are because we don't know the market year average prices, which impact both PLC and ARC County, and we don't know the county yields for 2024 yet. We will get a good indication of what those yields are in June. I am betting that in Illinois, most of those yields are above average, but that given where we've seen corn and soybean yields, we would expect those to be above average. There might be a couple counties where it isn't. Here is where 2024, where WASDE, and you're looking at the projected prices there for the 2024 and 2025 marketing years. And we'll bring the slide up again because the 2025 and 2026 marketing years are where what will be impacting the payments for what you're making now. But 24, 25, we still don't know where they're at, but USDA and WASDE and the Office of Chief Economists more specifically makes a projection of those once a month. And they're currently at 435 for corn, 550 for wheat, 995 for soybeans. All of those have been coming down in recent months. And given trends, I would sort of think maybe they keep coming down, but who knows? All right. So we're looking at 435 for 2024 right now for corn, 995 for soybeans, 550 for wheat. For corn, and again, this is a 2024 program, which will make payments in 2025. For PLC, the effective reference price is 401, and that's above where it's been because it's statutory is 370, and we've had some higher market year average price resulting in the effective reference price being above 370, so 401. PLC will make payments if we're below 401. Current WASDE estimate is 435, so likely no payment. For ARC County, and ARC County is a revenue program that pays when 86% of your benchmark yield times your benchmark price is lower than that. So benchmark price is 485, higher than the effective reference price. And if that 435 holds, your county yield will have to be 96% or lower than your benchmark yield. Essentially, you'll have to have a below average yield for the county, which doesn't seem likely. So for corn, neither PLC or ARC County seem likely at this point, but we'll see. Soybeans, effective reference price for 2024 is $9.26. Currently, current WASDE estimate is $9.95. So for PLC, we are saying likely no payment.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
A rise in prices received for farm producers for their commodities for the month in February, per USDA's latest agricultural prices report. The 14% increase in the total prices received index was a combination of a 2.5% month-over-month rise in the livestock production index and an 8.5% increase in the crop production index from the previous month. A 7% increase in feed grains and well over 2% gain in prices received for oilseeds in February offset lower month-over-month prices for food grains and produce. Turning to the livestock side, the overall increase was due to greater prices in the poultry and egg and meat animal sectors, up by 5.7% and 2.6%, respectively. The prices paid index for inputs and services rose 0.3% from the prior month. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.